Oh, that's good. I have chills, Bill. That's awesome. I think that's true. I think that's the heart of, I mean, hopefully why anyone, you know, begins to study it and to ponder and to meander among the concepts of rhetoric and what that looks like and whatever little niche we end up inhabiting and looking through. So I don't know. I love that. I'm going to kind of change gears for a moment. And, you know, one of the things I did in preparation for this interview was to listen to some of the things you've said in the past. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the University of Kentucky's the College of Arts and Sciences and listened to a little short 10-minute podcast that you'd done on digitizing the past. Mm-hmm. And I was really intrigued by one of the comments you said about recovering worn or erased old Welsh writing in the margins of the St. Chad Gospels. And so I really wanted to know, you know, what are your hopes in terms of, what do you want to recover in the marginalia? And then second, you know, what do you think the future of marginalia might look like? I know it's a big loaded question, but the first one, I'm really excited to hear what you're looking for, what you think or hope to find with that particular manuscript.
That's a great question. Particularly the one about what will marginalia look like in the future. Let me hit the first one first.
Okay.
In the St. Chad Gospels, one of the things that happened with the Gospel book is that it ended up in Wales. And for a long time, people thought it was a Welsh manuscript. However, it didn't quite make sense from the marginalia of what could have happened to it. What happened was that a Welshman by the name of Gehi, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but he actually traded his best horse for the Chad Gospels and then donated it to the church. So what we think happened, it could have been the Vikings or it could have been some other warring faction raiding Anglo-Saxon, or actually the Welsh would raid the Mercia kingdom. And it may have been a book of spoils. It would have had a jeweled cover, probably of gold with some silver in it. And they would steal these books, rip off their covers, and then pitch them. Somebody probably realized how important that manuscript was and thought they could get something more out of it. So if he's willing to trade a horse for it, it would have been worth more than a horse. I'm guessing that he came to it by questionable means. So it spent this time in Wales. So there's all sorts of wonderful mixed writing in it. It's a mixture of Latin and Old Welsh. The oldest surviving written Welsh is in the Chad Gospels. And on one page in particular, it seems clear that something has been erased off of it. And what I was hopeful to find out is if I can recover that, is that it may give some serious clues about the provenance of the manuscript. Since we don't know for certain, it's hard to say what was there. For all we really know, it could have been graffiti that somebody was cleaning off. But most likely, it has something to say, and it's a spot that is large enough that it should have some substantial text to it. One of the interesting things is that there is a technique we can probably use to recover this, and I feel silly with saying this. The only thing it requires is a particle accelerator, and for some of the pages of the Archimedes palimpsest, what they did as a physicist at Stanford University figured out how to use a particle accelerator to have a beam that is focused enough that would actually send, I think it's an electron, into the vellum, send something out so that it can read at the molecular level what is still there. And through that, you can recreate the text or get a shadow of the text and actually read it. I think there's 4 to 7 pages of the Archimedes palimpsest that they couldn't read through infrared or ultraviolet, and this technique actually worked for. I think to do a page, it takes about a day. So there is hope that we can figure this out sooner or later, but it's going to take some pretty dramatic means like a particle accelerator. But my sense is that, you know, scientists will keep getting more and more clever about recovering these sort of things. So it's really kind of at the heart of the issue about where the Book of Kells was made, its history for a long time. There was real tension between the Welsh and the English. It's at an English church at this point in time, as far as who owned the manuscript. So there were some real delicate political maneuverings that happened even as late as the year 2002. The British Library actually had a show of illuminated manuscripts and had the Chad Gospels there. And they did some imaging and created a short turning of the pages. And they had to work with both cathedrals, the cathedral in Wales and Lichfield, to make that project happen. Since then, there was an angel that was found buried beneath the cathedral when they were doing some reconstruction. And that angel has the same pigments as the Lichfield Gospels, or at least the same palette. So that seems to be pretty solid proof that the Chad Gospels was actually made in Lichfield. Mm-hmm. There's also a connection with Ireland and a connection with Northumbria, Northern England, that would suggest it to have been made in England as well. So I'm pretty certain it does have an English Anglo-Saxon origin, but I was hoping that we would find out something. Even if we could recover some more Old Welsh, it would add to what scholars do have that is there. But I think figuring out some of the mysteries behind the histories of these manuscripts is just absolutely wonderful, if it can happen. But alas, it didn't happen in the project.
Well, no, but I think that's great. The particle accelerator aspect of it. I mean, I come from an anthropology background, so just thinking about the archaeological aspects of that, I mean, it's huge. And so, yeah, I think it's just fascinating, though, seeing that also become part of the way that we're going to be able to detect marginalia in the future. So
yeah.
I'm absolutely blown away. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is back to the future. that's amazing.
Yeah. Now, the second part of your question, I think, is very intriguing. One of my greatest joys in reading a book is to write notes in the margins. So I'd love to scribble thoughts, questions, whatever in the margins. Digital technologies change that quite a bit. And there are, you know, basically the sticky pads for books now and PDF. Acrobat allows you to do notes, but it just doesn't seem like it's quite there yet. I'm not sure what marginalia will look like in the future. I hope that it's good and messy, and that we have plenty of ways of doing it, because I think many times that gives you a context that is lost otherwise, and I think that our understanding is greatly reduced without it. So I'm hoping that, you know, there will be some sorts of records, and maybe it will be, you know, when somebody's 1,000 years, 2,000 years removed from us, they'll be kind of connecting Facebook posts with an author's writing or something, or what they were reading, in ways that illuminate some of the issues and aspects of the culture that make for understanding the words resonate more deeply, is gone. One of the things, I know that librarians are thinking about this a lot, and we just built a new digital repository here at the University of Kentucky. It's coming online literally right now, and I've got the Chad Gospels in there, We're working out some of the interface stuff at this point in time. But the system, instead of going to a traditional database, they've gone to something called microservices, which mm-hmm. is more like a file structure, so that you don't have a proprietary database that is another layer of complexity, but you've got this file system so you know where everything resides and you can just reach in and grab it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see if something like, yeah, I mean, I think the goal of JavaScript was to try to come up with kind of this universal access language that would make things programmable in ways that we have kind of everybody can use and has some sort of longevity. But I know that, you know, this is an issue that is seriously on the minds of librarians because, you know, you change databases. How do you get something out of your old database and into the new?
Exactly.
And not lose it? And it becomes, yes, a huge issue.